This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ismullah al-Hakim. Ismullah al-Hakim. Within the 12 categories of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names that we are going to go through his name subhanahu wa ta'ala using the aid of, the first group is his names or attributes of divine judgment. Each name within this category talks about his judgment, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nature of it. Whether that judgment is occurring within dunya, or it's occurring yawm al-qiyam, or it's occurring both, it doesn't matter. And we talked about Ismullah al-Haqq from yesterday, and today we'll talk about his name al-Hakim. And the rest of the names I'll leave for you to contemplate on your own, and then we'll move on to another category, inshallah ta'ala. But hopefully with this categorization, it helps you better understand his names and how they impact us. الحكيم هو الذي يضع الأمور مواضعها ولا يأمر إلا بما فيه مصلحة عباده. So the definition of Ismullah al-Hakim is the one who puts things in their proper place or in their proper places, and he only commands that which is beneficial. His name al-Hakim is in the Quran 78 times. Most of these times, around 25 of them, are with Ismullah al-Alim. And then after that, you'll find other names, or 47 times, sorry, with Al-Alim, and then 25 with Ismullah Al-Aziz, and then 3 with Al-Khabir, and then you have Wasi', and you have Tawwab, and you have Hamid. And usually Ismullah Al-Hakim is a name that is there to help us understand the other one. Usually his name Al-Hakim is connected with another name so that we can better understand the other name because of how simple this name actually is in terms of comprehending it, how important it is. It's one of those umbrella names that is very, very important for us to comprehend. But 78 times is quite the number in general for a name to exist in the Quran. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, when he speaks about sending prophets, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ أَوْ يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. The purpose of sending prophets and messengers to people, one of them is وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْحِكْمَةِ وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. The wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So the concept of wisdom, which is what hikmah is repeated in the Quran many times. يُؤْتِي الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He grants wisdom whomever he wants. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةَ. And the one who is granted wisdom, فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, is the one who has been given a lot of khayr. And there's really nothing else in the Quran that is described like that. There's nothing in the Quran that is described that when it's given to you, you're given a lot of khayr. This is the only thing. The only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about granting it to people, he talks about it in that fashion. فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. This is the biggest khayr you can be offered if you're offered wisdom. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And the only ones who remember are the people who actually have intellect to begin with. Now, how do you define wisdom? That's a whole different topic. There's a cheesy quote defining wisdom. It says, knowledge is to know tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is knowing not to put it in a salad. In a fruit salad, yeah. Wisdom is knowing how to do things, knowing when to do them, knowing the amount that they need to be done within. Knowledge is much more simple. And we'll talk about Ismullah al-Alim. It's coming down the series, inshallah. But al-Hikmah is different. It's knowing how and when and amount, and being able to judge any given situation, to figure out what is the best route to achieve the objective. So in order for hikmah to actually exist, you have to have an objective. There has to be a goal. If there's no goal, then hikmah is kind of a concept that doesn't really work. If you turn on your car and you start driving and you have no destination, like you're just out for a stroll, it doesn't matter where you go. And it doesn't matter. There's no route that's best. There's no wisdom in terms of, okay, take this route here, take this road here. There's a shortcut there. It doesn't matter because you don't know where, but if you do know where you're going, if there's a destination, regardless of where that may be, then hikmah is important. Then trying to get, then it, wisdom is going to help you. It allows you to get wherever it is you're going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in the Quran about Luqman. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ يَشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. The only individual that we have in the Quran, that there's a surah named after him, and he is not necessarily a prophet. Meaning most scholars don't see him to be a prophet. This is an issue of difference of opinion for sure. So you are welcome to believe that he is. But most scholars don't see Luqman to have ever been a prophet, but rather an extremely wise man, which is how they is the word that they use to describe him. And that's because the Quran describes him that way. Indeed, we had granted Luqman wisdom. And ishkur lillah, be grateful that we did. And then you get to hear Luqman alayhi salam actually speak to his son and offer him advice that till this day we use when we speak to our children, because extremely wise. But someone who had reached a high level of wisdom, the Quran had a surah named in it after him. And we listened to his description, listened to his explanation of what his wisdom translated into throughout his life. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of Surah At-Teen, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not the wisest of all rulers? Al-Hakim is a ruler, not a wise one. Al-Hakim, the Hakimin, is the plural of Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim is a ruler, or someone who gives judgment, a judge of some sort, someone who will make judgment or give rulings. بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, the wisest of those who give rulings and judgments. Surah At-Teen talks about our functionality. It tells you that you are created fi ahsani taqweem. You're created in the best form to serve your purpose. Taqweem has nothing to do with the way you look. Has nothing to do with your physicality at all. It has everything to do with the fact that you were created in a manner that allows you to achieve the objective for which Allah created you. You're created perfectly to do that. You have all of the tools that are required for you to achieve your purpose as a caregiver, as a khalifa, as a servant, as a abd. The way you look is not important. This is not what taqweem means. Taqweem means the ability to function. And because he gave you purpose, and because he created you in a way that is suitable for that, this surah ends with, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not the wisest of all rulers and judgment givers when he judged that this is what you were going to do and here's how you were going to do it? When he told the malaika that he was going to create Adam alayhi salam, they did not like it at all. When he told them, I'm going to put on earth a khalifa, they told him, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا. You're going to put someone to spread corruption. وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ, and he will shed blood. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We continue to praise you and exalt you and call upon your names. قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وعلم آدم. And then he goes and he teaches Adam عليه السلام. They see something about Adam عليه السلام that they recognize they don't have. We'll talk about it a little bit more in اسم الله العليم. And then what they say at the end is قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Indeed, you are the one who is the omniscient and you are the one who is all wise. Meaning we see now that there's a wisdom in this that we don't understand. That there's something coming here that we don't fully comprehend. So, subhanak, forgive us. You are the exalted. There must be something here. And there was. And the potential of what Adam alayhi salam had to offer, and the pious of Adam alayhi salam's children, is something that the world has seen, and will continue to see, inshallah, with the khair that has it within it. Their problem was that when they saw Adam alayhi salam, they used the judgment they had of a previous nation, where the majority of that nation, or what happened within it, was all bloodshed and corruption. There were no examples of people who had the piety, who had the goodness within them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed through the human race amongst the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, and the people who came after that with piety. Yes, within our race there are many people who are corrupt and will spread corruption. But since the potential of khayr is there, and because we get to see that potential, even if it doesn't happen as frequently as we would like to see it, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation of Adam alayhi salam is still there. As long as the balance is achieved, and as long as that the potential is still there, and since the potential can be achieved and is being achieved, then it's just an issue of choice. That's why they said, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. When Nuh alayhi salam, when he lost his son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that I'm going to grant you your family, he said, Inna ibni min ahli wa inna wa'daka al-haq. Indeed, my son is amongst my family, and your promise is always the truth. Wa anta ahkamul hakimin. And you're the all wise, the wisest of all the judges. I just want to know what the wisdom is here behind it, because he didn't understand, alayhi salam, why he lost his son when he was told this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to him, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He is not amongst your family. He is a deed that is not good. So Nuh alayhi salam accepted. But at the moment it was hard, because there's always a piece of you that wants to know, what is that wisdom that I'm missing? Where is it? What is the wording? He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ. Did you think that we created you aimlessly? Is that what you thought? عَبَثًا? That you were created aimlessly? There's no purpose of you? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And that you would not come back to us and be held accountable for what you did. Is that what you thought? فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted from creating something that is aimless, that is purposeless, that is just a joke. No. No, all of this story has a plot, and there's a conclusion to it. This story that's being written, there's a plot, and then there's a conclusion. It'll climax and then it'll end, and there will be wisdom at the end of it that will make full sense to you, even if in the midst of it you can't see it. And that's all right. When you're in the middle of the game, it's hard for you to see. It's hard. You have to zoom out. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're in the midst of all of it that you can't zoom out. It's impossible. And that's all right, that you're not held, you don't have to. What you have to accept is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wisdom in what's occurring. That is the piece that we have to. That's why when you look at the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَنْ تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. The Quran talks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah want? Allah wants to yubayyin lakum, to clarify for you. وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. He wants to guide you the ways of the pious that came before you. And He wants to grant you repentance, because He is the omniscient and He is the all-wise. And Allah wants to grant you repentance. And the people who follow their desires, they want you to go astray. When He talks about siyam, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. He wants ease for you. He does not want difficulty for you. There is a purpose of all of these. And that's why He gives us what He gives us, because He is the All-Wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the wisest person to ever live. And the examples of his wisdom are many. And I'm not going to go through too many for you, so we don't take too much time. But a really nice example that you can contemplate or think about is on the day of Al-Hudaybiyah, because that's where it became the most obvious. The degree of his wisdom, alayhi salatu wasalam, and even those around him who loved him the most, and he lacked sometimes the ability to see the profoundness of his wisdom, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even those who were right beside him, who followed him in every sense of the matter, still couldn't always see it. When he sat there, alayhi salatu wasalam, trying to negotiate with Quraysh, he was trying to force their hand. He needed them to sign a contract with him. The Sahaba, all they saw was Umrah. They hadn't been to Mecca. Some of them hadn't been to Mecca for 6 years. That's a long time for someone living back then, by the way. 6 years was a long time. If the lifespan was less than 40 years old, 6 years was quite important. And they weren't living. We have doubled the life expectancy since then. We're talking 80 now. So people feel 6 years, they can throw 6 years away. People couldn't afford to throw 6 years away. If you're away from your home for 6 years, that was a long time. So they were away from Mecca, and you're from Mecca. And people from Mecca don't leave Mecca. I don't know if you know. Most people who come from Mecca, they never leave Mecca. They don't leave Mecca at all. Like they never even leave the city for any reason. They just live there. Why would they leave? This is the al-Balad al-Haram. They stay there for as long as they can. They want to be right beside the Kaaba throughout their lives. So these people were displaced from being right beside the Kaaba. It burned and it hurt. So when they were granted Umrah, they were the happiest they had been seen for many years. So they were ready for Umrah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I don't want to say he didn't care for Umrah. No, he cared for Umrah. But that wasn't his goal. He wanted to force Quraysh's hand at the time. Muslims were not acknowledged by the strongest power in the land yet. They weren't acknowledged. They were seen, they were called hooligans or yani, the guerrilla gangs or terrorists or whatever you want to call them. They were called names, but they weren't acknowledged as a country. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to force Quraysh's hand to acknowledge him. Once you sign a contract with someone, once you sign a treaty of peace, you acknowledge their existence. They weren't acknowledged. He wasn't acknowledged yet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So all he wanted was that. So once Suhail ibn Amr sat down and they started writing the contract, everything Suhail was asking for was given. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nope. Bismika Allahum. We don't know who is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Fine. Remove it. Min Muhammad Rasulillah. Nope. If we knew you're Rasulullah, this wouldn't be happening. Put your name and name your father, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And Ali ibn Abi Talib is losing his mind. The lack of respect, the disrespect that these people are showing, it's killing him. So he refuses to do it. The Prophet ﷺ asks him, where is it written? And he deletes it with his own finger. ﷺ. And then the treaty itself is not fair, is extremely unfair. It's prejudiced against Muslims. If someone leaves Mecca and goes to Medina as Muslims, you have to send them back. But if someone leaves you and comes to us, they stay with us. They have to stay with us, or they can stay with us. Sure, no problem. You don't perform Umrah this year, no problem. That was the final straw. Once they said no Umrah this year, the Sahaba walked out saying, I'm not going to use foul language, but they did. They did. They walked out saying, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu rallied. He had never done this. He walked around rallying people. Said, why are we doing this? He goes to Uthman, he goes to Abu Bakr, seeing if he can get some people to stand by him. He later on would say, I have prepared Salah and Siyam specifically for this, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me for my behaviors that day. Because they wanted to do Umrah. They saw Umrah. Alayhi salatu wasalam saw the future. He saw something completely different. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He signed it, and once he signed it, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was the happiest he was seen for the majority of his life. Like, you'd never see him smile so much. And the Sahaba was sitting there, no one was smiling. He was the only person smiling. Sallallahu alayhi wa ajma'in. Fath, فقالوا أفتح هو. What are you talking about, يا رسول الله? Fath, what fath? We're sent home, there's no Umrah. The whole thing is unfair. So he didn't respond, alayhi salatu wasalam. 2 years later, when the number of Muslims skyrocketed, when the graph that grumbled along for 7 years before went like this within a year, and you had 25,000 Muslims within a year and a half, they all came back apologizing to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. رَأْيُكَدُونَ رَأْيِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ It's your opinion, it's your understanding, it's not ours. It's not ours. They wouldn't even, he told them, إِحْلِقُوا وَذْبَحُوا They wouldn't do it. He commanded them, shave your heads and slaughter your hadi. They didn't do it. He said it 3 times, they didn't do it. He goes into his tent, he's talking to Salama, he's telling her, هَلَكَ قَوْمُكِ Your people want to die. The Prophet is commanding them and they are not listening to them. So she said, إِذْهَبْ فَحْلِقْ وَانْحَرْ Go do it yourself. فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ تَحَقُّ بِكُ Once you do it, they'll do it, don't worry. فَكَانَتْ أَبْرَكَ النَّاسِ مَشُورَةً عَلَى قَوْمِهَا She was wise too, رضي الله عنها. She was the lady who had the most barakah of advice upon her people. So he went out, alayhi salatu wasalam, he shaved his head, he slaughtered, they did the same. And they didn't see the wisdom of what he did, alayhi salatu wasalam, for a few years later. And that's the barakah of having, of understanding his name, al-Hakim, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the living through it. A man would once come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim and summarized and in length in the collection of Imam al-Nasa'i. And he would say, Ya Rasulullah, he came to him asking for money. فَقَالَ مَا عِنْدَكَ فِي بَنْزِلِكَ What do you have at your home? فَقَالَ عِنْدَنَا كَذَا وَكَذَا مِنَ الْأَثَاثِ وَقِرْبَةِ مَا We have this something that we use to drink water in. It's made of clay and certain furniture. قَالَ اِذْهَبْ فَبِعْهَا You bring it, let's sell it. So he brought it, he sold it for 2 dirham. قَالَ خُذْ دِرْهَمًا فَأَطِمْ عِيَالَكَ Take half of it and go buy food and feed your family if they haven't eaten properly. And take the other dirham and go buy me the head of an axe. The head of an axe. So So he went, فذهب اشترى قدوما, the piece of, you know, the head of the axe. فأخذ صلى الله عليه وسلم فوضع فيها الذراع. And he took and he brought a piece of wood and he fixed it up for him. فقال اذهب ولا تريني وجهك أسبوعا. He said, go, I don't want to see you for a week. فاحتطب. Go and go to the woods and cut and basically bring wood and sell wood. I don't want to see you for a week. Don't come back for a week. Come back after a week. قال فذهب الرجل فعاد بعد. He came back after a week. فقال ما صنعت, what are you doing? فقال الحمد لله يا رسول الله. عندي 10 دراهم, I have 10 دراهم, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Teaching people how to actually make a living instead of walk around asking for wealth all the time. Most of his hadith, especially the shorter ones, are called Jawami'ul Kalim, are called hadith that are Jawami' that summarize or that encompass al-kalim from words. And he encompasses in a few words, alayhi salatu wasalam, meanings that are extremely difficult. Alaykum bil sidqi. فإن الصدق يهدي إلى البر وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة وإياكم والكذب فإن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور وإن الفجور يهدي إلى النار فقل آمنت بالله ثم استقم لا تغضب. When you go and follow these ahadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, you find them very short, very concise, very simple, yet it takes us an hour to explain what he meant by that عليه الصلاة والسلام and the benefits that come from these words because of the wisdom he had عليه الصلاة والسلام. There's a story that you find in every single culture. It's told a little bit differently. A little bit differently. And I like the Western version of it, actually, more than I like any other version of it. And it helps us understand his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Hakim. Because these days it's a little bit difficult to do that, I guess, for many people. They struggle with maybe understanding the wisdom of what they see. And here's how the story goes. A man would have a ranch basically, has a ranch, and within that ranch he has some horses, and he has a neighbor. So one day, the door of the stable would open, and the horses would all run out of his ranch. He'd lose them all. So the neighbor would come and say, "Wow, what a horrible thing that just happened to you." So his answer would be, "Who knows?" So the man would walk away feeling it's a weird response. The next day, these horses that left would come back to their stable, and with them, a wild stallion that is worth a lot of money. So the neighbor would come back again, and he'd say, "Wow, what an amazing thing. You have a stallion." So his response would be, "Who knows?" Now he's getting a little bit upset. So he goes, the next day, his son is trying to tame the stallion. The stallion steps right on his leg and breaks his leg. So the man comes back and says, "Oh my gosh, what a horrible thing that just happened to your son." So he says, "Who knows?" And now he wants to move away. He doesn't want this neighbor anymore. The next day, the military of that area comes and they want to take all the young people to war, but this kid's leg is broken, so they don't take him. So he comes and says, "Wow, what an amazing that happened to you." And he says, "Who knows?" And I can go on with this story for you until tomorrow morning. And I can continue to tell you pieces of this story and until tomorrow would not be done. And what this man is saying, of course, because this story is faithless in nature, but it still has the same idea that I want you to understand, is faithless in nature, is that we don't know. You know what's best for you? You know? How do you know what's best for you? You do not. You want certain things. That's okay. You want certain things. You sit there and dua, "Ya Rab, give me this. Ya Rab, give me that." Do you know if it's going to be good for you or not? Aside from the fact when you ask your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah, or you ask him for jannah, or you ask him for, which are the things that you're supposed to ask him for, which are the things that it's the sunnah to ask only for those things and not for other things. But we do, and that's okay. You're not told not to. You're not commanded, you can't ask for other stuff. Ya Rabba house, ya Rabba car, ya Rabbi beautiful fulana or fulan for my spouse. How do you know they're going to make you happy? You know, you don't. You just know that you want them, and that's okay. You know you want them. I'm not saying that's wrong, but you don't know if they're going to make you happy or not. You don't know if you'll be miserable with this person or the happiest couple on earth. You have no idea. You don't know. You don't. But someone does. But someone does. And the fact that he does should be enough for you. Should be enough that he knows subhanahu wa ta'ala. But more importantly, that he uses his wisdom, Jalla Jalaluhu, in what actually occurs. So when you see something occurring and you don't see, See, there are two pieces of this puzzle that you have to understand, and they're really important. Number one, everything he commands you to do is wise. Everything. Everything he commands you to do is purposeful. Do not look, I need you to change the lens through which you see the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not restrictions. Stop seeing them like that. They're not burdens and restrictions. That is a really poor way of seeing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you to do. These are actions that are beneficial strictly for you. He doesn't get anything out of this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is for you. When this is haram, it's not haram because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was bored and had nothing else to do, so he decided to toy with you. Here, don't do this. You want to do it, you can't do it. No, Jalla Jalalullah. No, this is helpful. This is the best command that suits you. Not doing this is going to be beneficial for you. Maybe you can't see it right now, but it is. And following this command is going to be within your best interest. There's no difference between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding us to do something and we feeling, why are you restricting us? Then a child, there's no difference between a child and their parent. It's the same thing. You sit with your child and you explain to them, Ya Ibn, Ya Habibi, you need to sleep early and you need to get up earlier and you need to read the Quran every day and you need to do well at school. Now they feel that you're just a dictator who is taking away their ability, their liberty, of course. And you live in a country that reinforces this BS, forgive me. You're taking away my liberty. No, I'm not. I want to make sure that you grow up to be a functional human being. Because if I don't, because you don't know what's best for you yet. You just don't. You don't. I don't love you more. I don't love my kid more if I let them play video games all day and sleep in and eat whatever they want and not go to school. That is being a poor parent. That child should be removed from my custody because I don't know what I'm doing with them. Even though for the child, this is the best father ever. This is the best person in the history of fathers. He lets me do whatever I want. Because they don't know what's best for them. Because they don't have the wisdom. They don't have the hikmah to know what's actually they're going to need in their lives. They don't understand the world and what the world requires in order for you to be successful within it. They don't. I do. So there's no difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows. He knows what the human race requires, what they need. So he drew some lines. Yeah, stay away from zina. Stay away from khamr. Stay away from lying and killing and mistreating people. Stay away from all of these things. You stay away from this stuff and you live well. You live well. He recited in Surah Al-Imam bil Salah, Yusiruka lil yusra. Lil yusra. That's how he described Islam. We're going to ease you into the ultimate ease. He called Islam al-yusra, the ultimate ease. How is this the ultimate ease? Oh, it's 100% the ultimate ease. If you don't do this, your life will only be difficult and only get more and more difficult. And if it doesn't get difficult for you now, it will be difficult for people later. Because it's not just about you, it's about the generations that will come after you as well. So we're going to help you find your way to do that which will bring ease to you. Ease. Yes, there's more ease in having a true connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living piously, than being on a yacht with a lot of wealth, throwing it on booze and drugs and sex. It's not. You think they're happier, they're not. You think they're doing better, they're not. They're not. It just for a moment seems like they are because you're taking a snapshot and you can't zoom out. When a child sees another child playing, he thinks he's happier, he isn't. It's just for a moment in time. You're going to be happier. You study hard, you become more successful, you'll be happier. They won't. Just do it. Don't be fooled by the snapshot in time that you're looking at. You have to have more wisdom than that. You have to be able to zoom out. The second piece is that there are things that we will never understand the wisdom for. And we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alimul ghaib, He knows the ghaib. And His wisdom is attached to that too. His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is always also attached to the fact that it's ghaib. There are things that we don't know, and we don't understand, and we don't have access to. And he'll ما لا يدرك الحكمة منه. Things you cannot assess the wisdom of. You don't know. Why is this happening to the people of Gaza? I don't know. Why would an earthquake hit the Turkey and Syria and kill a couple of tens of thousands of people? I don't know. I don't know what the wisdom is there. Why do children get sick and die at a young age? Why does oppression? I don't know why these things happen. I don't have an answer for you. But I do know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Hakim. He is the all-wise. Wa huwa ahkamul hakimin. He is the wisest of all rule givers. So I accept and I follow and I continue to watch and I know at the end it'll all come together. I know on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it all together and it'll make perfect sense that day. And everything will be dealt out in proportionately to what actually occurred. And justice will be served. And we will see and understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put things the way He put them. There's a full surah in the Quran called Surah As-Saffat that talks about that. Within it, Ibrahim, within that surah is the only surah where Ibrahim is commanded, go slaughter your son. Because how is Ibrahim going to make sense of that? How is Ibrahim make sense of that? Go ahead, try. Slaughter your only son. Go. How? You don't think Ibrahim had like 50 comebacks? You don't think Ibrahim had in his mind a million ways to say this makes zero sense? Why would I kill him? He's a kid. He's my only kid. Where? How is this good? How is there khayr in me taking my son and slaughtering him with my hand? How? Explain to me how this is. He didn't. If you read Surah Al-Safat, there's no comeback. Nothing. He just goes. He just tells his son, this is what I was told to do. This is what I was told to do. Ya abati faal ma tu'mar. Oh, my father, do what you were commanded. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. You'll find me persevering. Falamma aslama. They both submitted. Watallahu lil jabin. And he put his forehead on the slaughtering table. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wafadaynahu bi dhibhin 'azim. And he was, it wasn't about that. But Ibrahim didn't object, he didn't ask questions. Other prophets, in other moments, there's a lot of back and forth. Musa alayhi salam speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks questions. Ibrahim in other places, he would ask, Arini, Ibrahim himself would say, show me, how do you resurrect? I need to know. I believe, I need to see it. How do you do it? I don't understand how you do it. I want to see how you do it. So he showed him. But when he was told to slaughter his son, not a word. Because that was a test of his belief and acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. So he accepted. He knew this was a test of, do you believe, you accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hakim? Yes, I do. I'll do whatever I'm told to do. How do you live by this beautiful name, Allah al-Hakim? It's very important. Without understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hakim, there's going to be a piece of your deen that will be ever lost. There's a piece of your deen that will be forever lost if you don't understand His name al-Hakim. And accept that He is al-Hakim. So it's a name, 78, you'll see. 78 is a high frequency name. As we go through the other names and I give you the frequencies, there'll be much, some names will be once in the Quran, and twice and three times. Al-Hakim, high frequency. It's always there. It's attached to everything. Every couple of days I'll come and talk to you about a name, and I'll say the name that came with it the most, Ismullah al-Hakim, and here's why. Because you need to understand it. Because through His wisdom, this name can be understood. Through His wisdom, this name can be appreciated. Through His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can comprehend better other names. It's a name that is there and has extreme importance in how we view the world and how we view ourselves. That there's wisdom in it all. Even if I can't see it, even I don't understand why things are happening, why they're suffering, why they're dying the way they are. You'll see. It'll come around. On the Day of Judgment, it'll be all clear to you. You live through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom by learning wisdom. By الْحِكْمَةُ ضَالَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Wisdom is what every mu'min is continuously looking for. It's what we're seeking out in life. We're trying to find it. Wherever it may be, whoever carries it, not a problem. Use wisdom to make the correct choices. Spread wisdom amongst people. And then finally, you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom. Even if you don't see it in your life. Even if you come to the end of your life and you still don't see it, it's okay. You'll see it yawm al-qiyamah. You see it yawm al-qiyamah, you're okay with that. That's why you're Muslim, and that's what allows you to be Muslim, is that acceptance of His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala before the end of your life and then seeing it on the Day of Judgment. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanallah bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.